Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Meshe, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. Listeners are invited to call into the show for a reading or with questions and comments. Call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Also, join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat to create a username, register with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Awakenings. Great to be here with everyone. Everyone getting in the chat and on the phone lines, and also great to be with all of you listening later in the BTR, iTunes, Tune In Radio, and FM Player as well as the other podcast outlets. Amazed at how many they are, and I get a lot of emails and feedback as to how you guys like the program and how you found us. And it's great that you found us, right? Actually, I know somebody now that works at Tune In Radio, and I was like, oh, we're on your station. We're on your platform or outlet station. I don't know what you call it, network. What do you call it? Anyway, we're going to be diving in, doing readings, answering questions. I've got some email questions that I'm going to answer. And so stick around if you're just surfing through. Stick around and join the fun. Also, if you are, hey, Crystal Bowles, Gretna getting in the chat. Also, if you're new to BTR and you just want to listen as a guest, that's great. You can listen via the internet through your browser, or you can sign in to Blog Talk Radio to get in the chat, also known as the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room. But if you do want to interact in the chat, then you do need to have a Blog Talk Radio or BTR profile. So I think fill something out. I'm not sure. Very easy. I think email and something. Yay, sound. Oh, you had to reboot, Jules. Great. So a great band that I love, Lar in the chat, knows the cajon player in the band, and she had a band with him a while back. So shout out to the Standards. Really great. Went to a really, really fun event for a good cause, Movember 2017 at Event Farm. And they had great bands, great music, lovely, lovely people, open bar, of course. Great, just great group of people, and the music, Art by Chase. The Art of Chase, anybody know him, local to SoCal, West Side, Venice, Santa Monica, Marina Del Rey area, amazing artist, very visionary. He does, in fact, if those of you that are part of our Awakenings community, and speak of that, come join up the Awakenings page or community page, post, you know, how your unfolding is going, any questions that you have about spirituality, awakening, you know, connecting into your own spiritual center, meditation, astrology, whatever. You can go to Awakenings with Michelle Meshe, that page, as well as the more interaction is on the Awakenings page. So anyway, if you go there, my cover photo was done by Chase, and it says, listen to your soul, right? And he does a lot with remember who you are, the third eye. He does a lot with eyes, and just an all around great artist and really nice guy. So check out his art. Check out the Standards. It was kind of like a bluegrass country ish. I don't know. I loved it. They were great. And Crystal Bowles Gretna says kind of makes me want to move to California. All those events Michelle posts. Yes. And Jules is saying, yeah, LOL. Yep. That's one of the things I have on my list of things I want in my new community when I move, events. I need my events, my art, my music, whether I go by myself or with friends. It just so feeds, nourishes, nurtures the soul, uplifts the soul. People, everyone should get out to see as much, do art, you know, those of you see me, I do my art, I do my collages. I'm sketching in a while, but it takes me so long to sketch one thing because I make so many mistakes, but I love it when I come out with a finished product. But you really, everybody, that's the language of the soul, poetry. You know, I post all that stuff on my Instagram and Facebook, Twitter as well. So all through my social media platforms. It's uplifting to me. I love not only seeing it and viewing it, but also posting and sharing. The other day I went to did a little karaoke. It wasn't too good with that. The song wasn't really for me. But anyway, I got up and I tried it, sang a duet with somebody. And so that was kind of fun. And some of you, I posted some things when I sang on the Venice Boardwalk. Someone said, come down and sing with us. And so I did. I brought my percussion little shakers, marimbas, little shakers and stuff. You guys, you've got to do that. Why not? Break out a mold. Have fun. I mean, that is part of why we're here. A big part is our self-expression, self-exploration, which is the soul, soul expression, right? So anywho, yeah, so that's so cool. Lard, you knew the guy in the band. Very cool. Please tell him how amazing they were. It was such a treat. Then there was some good DJs there. There was another band, a little semi-punk rock, but kind of light punk rock. I'm going to date myself here. I did a small time in the punk rock scene, believe it or not, until I got in. And I did the mosh pits. Yeah, I've done a lot of stuff until I got hit with a bottle. Then I was like, this is really not for me. They were throwing stuff. And I remember on stage there was this TV with all this static and supposed to be some kind of message there. So, yeah, I just say, you know, connect as much to the soul and have that soul expression. And it's not just through service and helping each other. It's through art and music, the language of the soul, the connecting and sharing. Because, you know, art and music transcends everything, transcends differences. It brings people together. So, anywho-hoo. All right, call in number 347-539-5122. That's 347-539-5122. And Jules is right. It all brings the community together. That's right. So if you have a question or comment, 347-539-5122, press 1 on the keypad. And that gets you in the keyboard queue. All right, we are going to get to questions and readings. I did want to touch on Julia, who actually called in last week. We talked about a little bit about blocks to abundance. And I said I'm going to get to this. Our show Shift Happens. My co-host on that is doing some other work, so we're probably going to do a new episode in the next couple weeks, if not for sure January, and be more consistent with it. But really, if you do have questions or if you're in this, you know, Southern California area and you want to be on the show, want to be interviewed or read, live reading by moi over here, you can email me at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com. Also, I am going to be doing a whole series of the core beliefs called Liberate, releasing you from those core beliefs. That's going to start back up, and I'm wrapping two of them up. In December, I'll have a tele-workshop on connecting to your soul and listening to the intuition, the messages of the soul. And then starting in January, I'm fired up about this core. I'm fired up about it's changing people's lives. I'm still getting emails from people that took it months ago saying, I'm still having all these amazing growth and amazing awareness, and my life is shifting. And it's shifting my life. I mean, in huge ways, to just open to more possibilities. And, you know, it's pretty amazing. And so think about this. What if there was one belief that was blocking everything, that was holding you back, and you could find out what that one belief was? And it happens at such a young age, you cannot know what it is. It's instinctual. And I developed the process to get through it. This even cuts through the 5-step emotional clearing process. It's a lot faster because we don't have time anymore. Look how fast things are moving. The shift is happening, right? So we need to be on it, living more from the soul, less and less from the wounding, the constructed ego, less and less of ego concerns, more from the soul, more listening to the intuition, taking those chances, becoming more and more real. I got up this morning in my meditation. I'm like, I have to be more real. I have to drop into even more feelings and more exposure. So, yeah. So, yeah, it's everybody's where they're at, where you're at, but there's always more growth. You know, like my dad used to say, hopefully you're growing till the day you die, you know, and that's kind of how we're meant to, unfolding and flowering of the soul, opening and opening and opening. So if you have any interest in that, or you want to get my monthly psychic happenings, energetic forecast and the psychic happenings, as well as my blog at soulplayground.life. A lot of good information comes through on there, and insights and information. And then the monthly I have, and I also have a weekly soul insights that I do as well, that kind of guides for the week. And then the monthly I do an overview. All right. One of the comments Julia had was, sometimes spiritual language is nebulous and not everyone understands it or knows how to apply it in their life. We need practical steps to facilitate change. I agree. And you got to ask questions. And if people can't dial it down, back it up with something simple, then they don't. So if the second question she had, some of us bring in vows, contracts from past lives that are subconsciously playing out in our present life. Example, vows of poverty or not being enough. How do we cancel and rewrite these vows so we're no longer affected by them? Soul retrieval helps, which I do, 5-step emotional clearing process, and this core belief, liberate. You cannot do it consciously. You cannot do it rationally. You have to get into that meditative state, that transcendent state, timeline review. But what I will share with all of you, and especially you, Julia, since you're asking this, is that, in fact, I do a lot of past life, soul retrieval, a lot of past life regression work, but the technique that I use is you tie it into what's going on here. Because since there really is, time is circular, you know, it's all happening now. The past, present, and future is a way of us organizing the idea of time, right? What is time? It's space, the amount of space and distance. And an unfolding has happened that we've called time, right? So if I'm going 5 miles and that takes me a certain amount of time, that's a certain amount of unfolding that's going on, right? So I do this type of regression that I do. We always tie in what's going on now. What's the problem? What's the concern? Or what do you want to know about? What's the, you know, the inquiry? Because it doesn't matter. I don't really believe in those vows of those kinds of things. They're usually past generational and ancestral beliefs that are passed on. Maybe you played it out in another life, but it doesn't matter if you're playing it out here. It's happening here. You know, so there has to be a direct connecting the dots if you really want to affect change. Although in saying that, I did work with somebody years ago who had never done a past life regression, wasn't even involved in spirituality, metaphysics, or anything, you know, in this genre. And I did the bioenergy alignment, the pranic healing on her. And once you're in the energy field, you never know what's going to come up. And she actually relived a life of being buried alive. And she was like choking and, you know, brushing the dirt from her. And it was a 4-hour session to get her to go through that. And the thing was, is one of the people that had buried her, one of the townspeople, was somebody that she was dating now who had betrayed her. He had an ongoing affair. So it all kind of tied in, and the same thing got replayed. But what was interesting is she had never done anything like this and didn't necessarily even believe in past lives. And I'm just thinking, too, what I did at Healing Earth in Chicago when I cleared that little girl that had died and was stopping their business. And I was coughing and was getting like smoke inhalation, and I saw that the little girl had died from the fire. And I said the date. I think I said 1924 or 1925. And the owners, after I finished, you know, telling them what I had discovered, and I sent her, the little girl, to the light. I can still see her now, what she looks like. And they brought me a burnt postcard that they found when they moved in the building. It took over the building that was in the basement that was partially burnt. It was in between, I don't know, where the wall meets the floorboard. And the concrete stuck in there, and it was dated 1925. So, yeah, fascinating. So there's those instances, and again, you work with somebody, you want to do it with me, I'll help you, I'll assist you. But again, you have to, you know, you have to kind of talk, you have to time travel a bit. If it's an issue that you're having now, you can bet 5,000% that you have it, or it's somewhere in your family line. You know, it just depends on you. In regression work, we go as far back as we need to, whether it's, you know, 25 years, 30, 50, 60, 70, 100 years, 1,000 years, wherever that original incident is. That helps. 347-539-5122 is the number. I love your questions. I love you guys for co-creating this. This is so cool. I'll have this platform to connect and share our own insights and our own questions. Let's get to callers, okay? 617-959-6439. You're on air. Hello?
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 Hi.
You're on air. Hi. And who am I speaking with?
My name is Sheba. Sheba?
Sheba? Hi, Sheba. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
What's your question?
I'm calling in because I'm at a crossroad in my relationship, and I just need a little guidance.
Okay. And tell me about the crossroads. What are you wanting to know?
Want to know whether the decision that I've made is the right decision.
Is this? I'm hearing the song. Should I stay or should I go?
Yes.
Yeah. Which is also a punk song. Okay. Are the guys getting trickier? Okay. Should I stay or should I go now? Okay. Let's see, Sheila. Whoa, you're really not sure. There's a part of you, is wanting to stay, right?
Let's see. Not really.
Well, have you extended the staying? Have you extended it? Because is there something about the holidays? There's like a little percentage. I don't know if it's a quarter percent. I can see you moving out the door. I can see you moving on. And then there's this part that's just wondering. And then I'm seeing him to the side. Do you feel that he hasn't perhaps progressed with you?
What do you mean progress with me?
Well, is it not at the same level as you? Do you feel you're holding yourself back?
Yes, definitely.
That's right. Okay, that's what I'm getting. Because it shows you looking, so there is a part of you that's, yeah, and that's probably why the call, you're not sure. There's a part that's still kind of wondering. Let's see. Relationship. Well, it does show the distance. It's showing that you by you distancing, you're going to have more clarity about what you really need and what you want in your own life. So there's something coming up. Something coming up about bigger. Does that make sense? There's something coming up about bigger changes for you in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? And you can't, and there's a part of you that's saying, I can't do it with him, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. This is happening for many people. Yeah, this is happening for many people right now. And it actually started in 2009 when we moved into what's called the path of right relationship and right livelihood. And it's not just right relationship to other people, but to ourselves. And right livelihood isn't just about money. It's about lifestyle or how we're living. So mm-hmm. if you think about what was going on 2009 to 2011, you know, a lot of change. And then we had 2012, the changes that were happening there. All the stuff you're seeing now in the media about relationships and how people are treated. And I feel like there's just more of a push for partnerships where people really want to feel that they're partnered with somebody that's participating together in their goals and their dreams and their life, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. So you're right, because you want to fly. It's like, yeah, you know, it's interesting. I see, and I don't know why I'm getting this visual for you, but I'm seeing it's like, it's a little bit darker where he's sitting, where you're coming from, almost like the shades aren't up all the way. And then the door where you're going through, there's about, I don't know, 20 feet ahead, there's all this light.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel as you follow through on your decision, you're going to have more light, more light, more light, which is abundance, awareness, more guidance, you know, not feeling held back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that's exactly how I feel.
You're right, then. This is just a confirmation. Because also there's some insecurity things with him, too. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You kind of picked up that. Yeah. That's kind of, yeah. You know, we all have little insecurities, but when it gets so bad that you can't be you and it's blocking or stopping you and that person doesn't want to work on it or can't or has gone as far as they can, we do have to make a decision to, I think, to move on.
Exactly.
As one is my, yeah. Right? So
and
you're
I think
right,
the hesitation,
Sheba.
And I think the hesitation that you picked up on is because we have a young child. I think that's the hesitation you picked up on.
Ah, that's what it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I could feel it. There's a little, but the three quarters of you is out already.
Yes, definitely. Checked out a long time.
Yeah. So now it's just it happens like that. Now it's just the physicality is going. The rest
that's making the move.
Yeah.
Now it's making the move. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Great.
All
thank
right.
you so
well,
much.
Good for you to doing what's healthy. You know, life enhancing.
Yeah.
Oh.
As you know, sometimes you have to. Sometimes you have to realize you have to save yourself.
Yeah, and you know what? Sometimes we've gone as far as we can. And if they, I always
mm-hmm.
say, if you keep putting rocks or boulders on your wings, we can't fly. You know, and
exactly.
So yeah, you can't help somebody fly. And that's kind of the message. I mean, we're always all interconnected spiritually, so that connection will never be gone. It's just the detachment more emotionally and you know, then the physicality, not being around that person as much. But I feel like,
yeah,
for you, lifestyle, friends, I mean, it's going to impact your whole life. You're really going to be, you know, opening a lot more. I see different people around you, more people and different people than whom you're around right now.
Yes. Great. That sounds wonderful.
All right,
thank
Sheba,
you so much
for calling in. You're welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Big hug. Hi, 973-652. You're on air.
Oh, yes. Hello.
Hello.
How's it going, Michelle?
I'm doing great. And so who am I speaking with?
My name is Nat, or Nathaniel.
Nat or Nathaniel? Which do you prefer?
You could say Nathaniel. That's nice.
Okay, cool.
I just want to say I appreciate you taking my call. I really enjoy the show and the readings and everything. I think it's great. And I wanted to seek your advice on something, or you know, see what you picked up.
Okay, very cool.
I have a similar kind of relationship question as well, in that you know, I've been involved with someone for 2 years, and you know, we have a lot of great things, many levels together, and I guess, you know, sometimes I feel, you know, is it something that I should ultimately, I guess, how do I say this? Like, I think there's a lot of good things about it. At the same time, I also almost as much feel like maybe it would be better if at some point we're not together. Like, maybe it's just not meant to go, you know, be something forever. And it's also because I'm a musician, and she seems supportive of that, but I kind of feel like maybe all the things that I want to get into doing may kind of keep us apart to the point where it's hard to keep together. And so, you know, this also could just be something I'm thinking in my head. And
yeah, because I feel you guys have a really good connection. And, you know, there's relationships, there's always about growth.
Right.
Maybe her allowing, being comfortable with more space. But I feel a very, you know, when I look at the two of you,
mm-hmm.
I get like this bright light in between the two of you, like right in the heart center. So there's a very strong heart connection. And
there
you feel
is.
Good
there,
in each Yes, and yes. You feel good in each other's company. That's not easy. You know, there's always going to be some kind of compromise, and I don't mean compromising
true.
Yourself, but
true,
right?
True.
I always call them like requests. We have requests, and then we have requirements. And
right.
Usually the requirements around values, principles, you know, beliefs.
Right.
But I've even been with people that believe something different. I'm like, okay, whatever. That's how you believe. You know, that's, you know.
Right.
But I do feel like I'm definitely not seeing a breakup. And I think that you're feeling to go forward. And here's what I would say to you is don't allow preconceived ideas from parents, society, family of origin dictate
right.
what kind of relationship you're meant to have. That's what I feel you're bumping up into.
I
there's
see,
a societal
yes.
thing. Yes, does that make there's a societal thing happening here. I don't feel it's with her. You know, I'm not saying she's not going to complain about this or that. You know, who doesn't? You
sure,
know, we
yeah.
all have our little areas.
Right.
You know,
right.
why are you gone so long or this or that? But I feel
sure,
it's a
sure,
societal
sure.
thing that both of you are meant to break. And it's about having the relationship that works for both of you that
right.
may look different
right.
than
right.
some of the ones that you grew up with is what I'm hearing.
Right. Yeah, no, I can see that. I can see that. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. You
that's
know.
Where I'm getting the more of the issues from, honestly, Nathaniel. That's
okay.
where I'm getting – I'm not getting it really with her or the – I mean, there's something – I don't know if it's – I don't know, did you say travel? There's something going on with either travel or your – there's something there, but it feels like it's something that can be worked out or worked through communication.
Right.
And
– right, yes. Yes, you're correct. I think what you're talking about is, I mean, for me, luckily, it means more money. So what happened was is I started working with a friend of mine, this producer, who has an artist that he's trying to put a live show together. And he's basically a live singer with a band where, you know, she's quite young, but she's hard worker, and, you know, they have some
okay.
really good material, and he feels like putting the money behind this person, you know, because he has some labels interested in things like that, you know, could ultimately work out
right.
in a good way. And so luckily, you know, for me, which I'm grateful for that, you know, which in other words, what has happened is it's made 3 nights out of the week where basically she's kind of coming home but I kind of miss her, meaning that
she comes
home
on
Sunday
evening. Yeah.
So, but you know, like you said, we communicate, and I said, look, it's not going to go on forever, but right now it's an extra money that I could really use, and which is funny because it moves toward, like, I mean, maybe someday I can ask you another time, but where I would say to my girlfriend, you know, look, I don't have the other streams of income I'd like that I know that I have procrastinated on with some educational things on the internet with guitar. And I said, right now it's really helping. And so, you know, I eventually, you know, I mean, I guess I kind of have felt stuck career-wise in many ways. Like I, you know, I'm somebody who loves improvisation, so I do a lot of jazz music. And, you know, I kind of stalled that a little bit. I still play in New York quite a bit and with different artists. But as far as my own project,
okay.
I kind of have to kind of get that back going. But I teach and, you know, but I also grew up playing rock. So this is more of a rock, funk kind of pop thing. And that's what's helping me kind of pay for stuff. And because the teaching, as much as I love it and have done it for a long time, is, you know, I used to have a lot more students, but I got to be honest, it's a lot more fun getting paid to do these rehearsals, put the show together, and trying to knock out.
I feel like you're going more in that, Nathaniel. I feel like you're going more that direction. And again, I feel couples, we all need to understand when our significant other is at a turning point and going to their own next level. That might be less money. You know, it's about energy. Could be tied up in something. Could be less time. But I don't see your. I see it a good end game. You know, and I would say keep your eye on the end game. Yeah, I do.
Right.
I think you're making the right choices, the right decisions. And you know, back in the day, people would have said, "Oh, I'm getting married now. I better just take something that's a little more secure." Da 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 da. 9 to 5.
Right.
You know. That was really never the truth, by the way, but it was, I always call it the rule book or the manual that people got passed on to them that didn't really work,
right.
You know, at least from a soul perspective. So, yeah, I feel like you just follow what you know to be true and bring the relationship along. It's a part of it. But you also have to have your own individual life and goals, just like she does.
Right.
And then those as a couple. So, yeah, I feel very good about the relationship, and I feel very good about what you're doing. If I'm going to look at it, you know, intuitively or psychically. Yeah.
Right. I appreciate that. I really do. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Thank
Keep
you
listening.
So much.
We have great guests coming on. Good to talk to you as well, Nathaniel.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you, Michelle. Take care.
You're welcome. Take care. Very cool. Great question. Okay, now we've got just Queen on the line. We've got a private caller here.
Hello?
Hello. You're on air.
Hi, Michelle. This is Frank again.
Hey, Frank.
Hello?
Oh, welcome. How are you? I'm
here.
I hear you.
Okay. Could you hear me okay with my earpiece?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I was wondering if you could talk about the configuration happening this weekend, how it's going to affect everyone, but especially those people that have planets and those degrees. I'm referring to the Jupiter and Scorpio at 11 degrees. Then you're going to have the Moon in Gemini at 11 degrees, and you're going to have Neptune in Pisces at 11 degrees. And how that will affect people, I guess, such as myself, because I happen to have a...
Now, Moon, I thought the Moon was going in Sag. What's the Moon going in?
Gemini.
I haven't even looked. Oh, that's right, Gemini, because it's the opposite. Okay, yeah. Well, here's the thing. And what are your aspects to this?
Well, I happen to have Jupiter in Scorpio at 7 degrees. I know it's not 11, but then I have my Gemini.
That's okay. It's still within orb.
Yeah, and I have my Gemini cusp at 11 degrees, and then I have my north node at 11 degrees in Pisces, but Neptune will be right on that north node.
And do you know house placement?
Yes. My Jupiter in Scorpio is in my 10th house, and my the Neptune in Pisces will be in my second house, and Gemini will be in my fifth house.
Okay. All right. Well, you've got, first of all, you've got a lot of, you know, we always want to look at the house because the house shows where we're going to be, you know, playing. Oops, I hear an echo. Is that me or you?
That's probably me. Just let me get rid of my earpiece here.
Okay.
Is that better?
So the house, yes, thank you. The house, yeah, because it throws my... Whatever. Okay, so the house is showing where we're going to play, what's being highlighted. It's the field that we're on, so to speak. So for you, the first thing that I get is deep emotions, deep yearning coming up with that moon in Gemini and accessing the fifth house. But emotions of inspiration, insight and inspiration. You might even feel longing of, you know, projects or certain people or types of people that you want to connect with. It can also bring a revisiting for you of, yeah, romance, romantic partners, lightening up your life. So that's the one thing that I would say. Even though, you know, Jupiter and Scorpio, you got to look at this. It's almost oxymoronic because Scorpio is deep, it's the depth, and Jupiter, the beneficent, is the lightening up and is an expansion. So Scorpio, it expands, but it expands below the surface. It goes deep down what we call chthonic. You know, it's the underground, underworld. It's to some degree impulses, right? And Jupiter says, let's bring this to the light. Let's bring this up and out. Let's expand on this. And I always say, look, the chthonic brings us to the cathartic. When we go into that, if you study mythology, when you go into the deep underground, there's always, you know, in every myth or tale, there's always some kind of breakthrough, turning point, you know, something happens. So for you, it's highlighting, I would say, not just the 10th house, but the 4th as well. Look and see, is there stuff that you need to work on that's blocking you? Crystal Bowles Gretton is asking, where is Jupiter? Jupiter's in Scorpio.
Yes.
So look and see if there's anything, thoughts, feelings, ideas, limitation that is blocking you from fully expanding publicly into your life. The 10th house being public. Like a lot of people say, oh, it's also career. Yes, it's career, but it's to some degree where and how you operate in the world, you know. It also has to do with what, you know, what are you using your gifts for on a bigger level. So to me, this is highlighting for you and for many people, perhaps in a different way because of a different configuration. Everybody's going to be affected to this. Is where you kind of still playing small or holding back. You know, how I was saying at the top of the program, I realized I have to, believe it or not, I have to actually get more real. And I'm pretty real. But I'm seeing some areas for myself where I'm still maybe hiding or not dropping into feeling. See, Scorpio says, let's drop down. Let's get below the surface. And that highlighted. And then, of course, with Pisces, and you've got it in the North Node, you know, and you've got a double whammy there because we've got Neptune in Pisces. That's talking about spirituality also. It's also inspiration, so it's tying into that Gemini, the moon in Gemini aspecting your fifth house, highlighting the fifth house. What brings you inside inspiration? You know, Neptune, it shows us where our illusions are, but it shows us where our dreams are. What are you dreaming about? What kind, and again, I talked about this at the top of the program, it's about looking at lifestyle, end game. How do we want to live? I work with quite a few over the years, many, 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 but in my roster right now, heads of Fortune 500 companies, Fortune 100 companies, venture capitalists, one thing I've learned from a lot of them is they all see like this end game. They have a vision. They don't just look at what do I'm going to do for right now. They see whatever product or whatever they're focused on, how is it going to change the world? How is it going to change them? How is it going to impact? how do they want, what kind of lifestyle do they want to live? Or they're, if they're doing, working with a business, you know, model, or bringing it, let's say if it's social, you know, marketing or something like that, what is this platform going to do for other people as well as themselves? So, Frank, you're being asked to look at that right now in your life. You know, and again, what is holding you back? And expect things to come up. Expect things to come up like, oh, I got to look at this, or I got to work on this, or this is no longer relevant for me, or this has been blocking or stopping me, or I need to free up here. You know, Jupiter is also about freeing up, you know, and allowing for more resources. I would say for everybody that Moon in Gemini is gonna, it's lighter. We need that lighter energy to counterbalance the deep and depth that we've been going through with Jupiter and Scorpio. You look at what's been happening in the public sector with the sexual harassment, which is total Jupiter and Scorpio. Scorpio rules the reproductive organs, the genitalia. It rules instinct. It's metaphysically, we say Scorpio, it has three levels. It's the scorpion that can sting you, right? I can't think of the second one. And it's also it's the scorpion, and it's also the phoenix that regenerates, right?
Right, and the eagle, so, also from the phoenix, it goes to the eagle.
Well, I think the phoenix is the one that dies and then comes back up.
Right.
There's one in the middle that's escaping me. But you're right. So, but here's the thing. So all this is coming up for empowerment because Scorpio is regenerative. It says, yes, you've knocked me down. I'm crawling on the ground, but I'm rising like the phoenix. I'm coming right back up, you know. But it can also be retaliative like the scorpion. It can sting you, you know. So the regenerative aspect is that it dies. It can sting you and be revengeful, or you can bring it up to the next level of consciousness where you have a death. But then, like the phoenix, it rises again, and there's a rebirth. You can also look at it as a Ouroboros, you know, the snake, the beginning, middle, and the end. So you want to look at areas of regeneration in your life having to do with the 10th house and the second house, which is finance, but it's also it's money resources, Frank, but it's also seeing yourself as your own resource. That you're your own resource, and you'll attract resources to you as well. But for everyone, there's that lightening up and looking at what inspires you. You know, art, music, what is it that inspires you? The Gemini being lightening up with the moon, getting a little chatty, getting people wanting to connect and share. You know, it's the consummate social media. Let's share what's happening. Let's get chatty. For you, Frank, on the esoteric level, the divine, the 10th house also has to do with the divine will revealed and spiritual purpose. It's also social responsibility or career. But it's also it's expanding. So you're going deep to get to the below the surface of the matter to know what really matters to you, cutting the excess so that you really get to what matters to you. And specifically for you, what will be highlighted is these three houses. So looking at relationship, you know, fun, lightening up, you know, fifth houses also can be writing, literary stuff. Getting in touch with the creative aspect of you, rules, projects, and then the second house and the 10th house. So it, making all of that pay off to funnel through the 10th house.
Okay.
That makes sense for you?
Yes, it does. It just seems like I really got to go into a deep meditation and see what comes up. So that's the difficult part, waiting for an epiphany or download or whatever else we could call it. Somehow connect to that.
With the Jupiter, but
source.
You know, you can also go for a walk. You can do some kind of, you know, rhythmic movement as a form of meditation, or just write in, you know, on your journal, a piece of paper, what it is that you want to know, and then look, because Jupiter is the big flashlight. It's the big LED in the sky for Scorpio. So, yes, meditation is great. I love it. I teach it. Yes, meditate. But expect things to be highlighted. What this is for everyone right now with Jupiter and Scorpio, we have to be looking and listening because the answers are there. You know, I just posted something today on my Instagram, a Rumi quote, reposted it from somebody about how there's this, let me see if I can get the right, like this big, here we go. There's a fountain inside you. Don't walk around with an empty bucket. So I'd say the fountain's inside us, but it's also around us. So to me, that's the call. Where can you see the abundance? As yourself, as a regenerative being, you know, with your career, with your finance, where can you see, you know, coming to programs like this, you know, all are connecting and sharing. And, yeah, so it's for you more, Frank, it's about looking, especially with that moon in Sag, asking the questions, listening, you know. But it's got to be something with that moon there. It's something that's close to your heart. You know, there's emotional fulfillment there. There's a feeling of upliftment. But the Gemini is also saying keeping it light, keep things going on all fronts, but have the conversation, have the dialogue. So you don't have to get too moody-broody. It's about looking and listening, right? Just looking around you where you find yourself, you will find the answers. They'll appear. The light will be shown on what you couldn't see before, what was hidden in that chthonic Scorpio realm.
Okay.
Do a note to yourself and then call us next week and let us know. It could come through your dreams. It could come through the proverbial bumper sticker. it could come through. But put out the question and expect the response.
Okay, that sounds good. If you don't hear from me, then I guess I didn't have anything. Well, I didn't notice it.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're what? You're welcome.
Thank you.
Such peace. Great question, Frank. That was great. And good for all, you know, and to some degree that's applying for everyone. And if you know your chart, if you look at the houses that it's, you know, aspecting, again, that will say where the arena is. But generally even, you could just take that information or insight with that Jupiter and Scorpio, Neptune and Pisces, and that moon in Gemini. Thank God we need a lighter moon. I just want to chit-chat about some surface stuff and not get into deep, heavy emotional clearing right now and repatterning. Okay, it's time for our second half of the program where we have our awakening dialogue. And today we have Rizwa, also called Riz Virk, who is a successful entrepreneur, angel investor, best-selling author, video game industry pioneer, and independent film producer. He's prolific in Silicon Valley as an angel investor, having invested in many startups, including Tapjoy, Telltale Games, Discord, Funzio, Pocket Gems, Moon Express, as many others. He's also produced many indie films, including Turquoise Rose, Thrive, What on Earth Will It Take? Love that movie. His first book was Zen Entrepreneurship, Walking the Path of the Career Warrior, which, by the way, reached Amazon's top business and spiritual bestseller list. And his most recent book is Treasure Hunt. So glad to have him on the program. Hi, Rizwa. Welcome.
Hi. Great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you here. Yeah. Love your name, by the way.
Thank you.
Great name. Yeah. Which do you prefer, Rizwa or Riz?
Riz is fine.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, so you're really threading the business with the spirituality, the spiritual quest, as well as the finding what impassions people, which kind of tied into my last caller, by the way. So it's great to be talking with you and expound on that further. I do want to, before we dive into your book, which is a great name and most recent book, Treasure Hunt, is get a little bit about your path and your first, perhaps first awakening and the succession awakening that brought you to making the decision to do what you're doing now.
sure, absolutely. So, you know, I was trained as an engineer at MIT, and so it's a very left-brain world, and you don't hear a lot of talk about dreams and synchronicity and some of the spiritual topics that you're talking about, you know, on this program in that world. And, you know, I had started my very first company when I was pretty young in Boston. And, you know, as I grew that company, I started to have these different experiences along the way. And these experiences caused me to question the nature of the current, the present, the future, and the past, and how they all related to each other. And sometimes I would get little inklings of things that would come true, perhaps a year later. Sometimes it would happen on the same day where I would have a dream about something. In fact, there's a story in this book, and I talk about it in my first book as well, you know, where we were working on our startup, and I had a dream about a particular competitor of ours. Let's say his name was Mark, and I hadn't heard from that competitor or that company in over a year. And so I had this dream in the morning, and I thought, huh, that's unusual. And, you know, I'll talk a little bit about the rules of treasure hunting later, but when something is unusual in a dream or in a waking message, you know, that's what kind of marks it as important. So I walked into the office that day, and I got a call from IBM, which is one of our big partners at the time. Our products worked with their products. It was called Lotus back then. And so the guy from IBM said, well, I just wanted to give you a heads up. We're making a big announcement tomorrow and about a product, and that product is probably going to crush your product. But since we're partners, we just wanted to let you know first. And so, of course, I was a little upset that they were going to, you know, crush our product. But then I asked them, well, how come I've never heard of this before? I mean, IBM's a big company. If they're working on a product, it's not that easy to keep it secret. And he goes, oh, it's because of that competitor of yours, let's call him Mark, that we bought them last year, and in secret they've been building this product. And I thought, isn't that interesting? Now, you know, I hadn't heard about these guys from a year, and I never had a dream about them before, so it was the first time. And so, you know, I started to question, okay, was it the future that morning seeping into my dreams? You know, what was the causal relationship? And then, you know, as I started to meditate, and I talk about some of these experiences in my first book, I started to have lots of other interesting experiences. Sometimes it would just be a little hunch about a building. Like, I live in Mountain View, California now. And a few years ago, I remember walking by this building, and I had a really funny feeling about that building. And I wasn't sure what that feeling was. And then a couple of years later, when I was doing a gaming startup, we ended up having an office in that building. And then we ended up selling that company, and now I'm back in that building again. And it was just these little things, and I started to question that, you know, did I get the office space in the building because I had the hunch, or did I have the hunch because one of my future selves was going to have an office in that building, and I was catching a glimpse of it. And that's sort of, you know, those types of experiences. You know, starting with that dream where, you know, some would say it was prophetic, I would say I caught a glimpse. It was like a glitch in the quantum matrix, and I caught a glimpse of what was happening. And this kind of thing, you know, kept happening to me. And as I started to meet with other entrepreneurs who were very successful, I noticed that they all used their intuition a lot more than they would admit. Venture capitalists even. And I think most successful people have a system, and they have a way of trusting themselves when they have certain types of intuition. And so that's really the backdrop kind of my career. A lot of my career has been about combining the right brain and the left brain, but also the creative side with the engineering side, because I've made a lot of video games, I've helped produce some films, and also about helping other people bring their dreams to market. So I became an angel investor, and so I've been investing in a lot of different startups and helping people get their projects off the ground.
Love it, love it. And I love how you listen, but I will agree with you, because stockbrokers I've worked with, angel investors, they all say the same thing, that it's at the end of the day, even if they did the analytics or they, you know, whatever due diligence, they would say, but I just had a feeling, or I had a gut knowing, or I had a dream about it, I had a vision. Question I have for you, and I even did years ago a show on this, because I used to host a TV show, and I asked people that were of a certain caliber making money. They all said the same thing, dream, vision. The second thing they said was that they all had some type of resistance, but people around them thought that they couldn't do what they were going to do. So they were just two things. They had a vision, a dream, or intuition. Question for you is, do you find that true? Did you find opposition? And the second part of that is, if, as you say, and I agree, and I'm sure other people that are listening have this similar experience, that most people that are successful, very successful, are going by this intuition, gut knowing, or you call it a system, a way of trusting themselves. Why don't we talk about that more, and why the fear around it?
I think, you know, people don't talk about it as much because, you know, I think we want to show that we can train other people to be successful. And, you know, there's a whole industry around, you too can make it, and here's how I did it, right? The trick, though, is that there's no, you know, ABC step to become successful. And that's why it's like the old quote from Tolstoy, when he starts off one of his books and he says, you know, every happy family is happy, is alike, but every unhappy family is unhappy in its own unique way. And I think that the flip side of that is true in business, and particularly in startups, where, every startup that fails for the same reason. They run out of money, they don't have enough customers, but every startup that's successful has to find its own unique path. And so I think, you know, people aren't used to using the language of visions, of synchronicity, of serendipity, or even of dreams in the business world. But it's very much true that people do rely on that, but they like to call it, you know, pattern matching or gut feeling is about as far as they'll go. I studied at Stanford Business School here in the Bay Area, and, you know, our class on decision making was literally a class about spreadsheets, right? You would fill in all the numbers in the spreadsheets, and then you would look at the results and you would say, oh, this is the most optimal, that's how we make decisions. And I remember raising my hand and said, well, what if those numbers, you know, at the left there are wrong? And the professor said, well, then all the numbers will be wrong, and that's why we pay you the big bucks, because you got to trust your gut and your own experience as a manager. Right. So,
then it went right back to that. So you think it might be like what caused – it comes back to that. But what something in you, because you did, you have the engineer background and training and more of a kind of the scientific, or if I don't see it, it doesn't happen, you know, approach, you know, training. What caused you to listen? And I'm also saying this because Frank, the caller before, and I was saying to him, the signs are there. You got to look for them. Because I feel like the universe, what do you want to call it, pattern matching, I feel like we're getting the messages a lot, the signs. So for you, how did you know that something was happening? Like, oh, I'm getting a sign here or a message, or there's something going on here. I should pay attention.
So, you know, for me personally, it was a combination of having these experiences, particularly in my dreams, but also waking messages. And sometimes, you know, there was even – you called it – I heard the last caller there, and you talked about the proverbial bumper sticker. But sometimes there's actually a literal bumper sticker. myself.
Exactly.
Looking at experiences that I've had and other people had, I began to trust more and more in my own gut and my intuition. Like that dream experience I told you about where I had the dream in the morning and later that day, you know, that person popped up again. There was something clearly going on. And so, you know, even though I have, you know, a scientific and engineering background, you know, I also tend to be very intuitive. And I found that most scientists even, dip into their creativity and they bring back some information, not unlike how shamans would go into non-ordinary reality to find a solution to a problem for their tribe. And, you know, going back to Einstein's famous thought experiment where he said, if I was sitting on a beam of light, what would happen? Took him a long time, many years from the time he was a kid to the time he published the theory of relativity. But he still had to go back and do all the mathematical work. A lot of what I talk about in the book is how do you bring the right brain and left brain together? And over time, I started to develop my own system for doing that, where you have to get an intuition, and I call it the clue life cycle. And the idea is you might notice something, but you may or may not act right away. And the next stage is that I often did was interpretation that said, well, what does this mean? What is this trying to tell me? And then the next stage, rather than being action, is confirmation and looking for repetition, you know. And I find that these clues, as I call them, if they're important, you know, they will repeat. And that's often the clue that this is a real clue. And
it's
so, you know, in my own career.
I like that.
Yeah, that's right. And the reason I called the book Treasure Hunt was I'm a big fan of science fiction, fantasy, and adventure movies, and I used to watch the Indiana Jones films when I was a kid, like Raiders of the Lost Ark, which you've seen or probably many of your listeners have seen. And, you know, in those films, wouldn't it be nice if Indy had a map and it just said, oh, here's the axe, you can go get the Ark of the Covenant. That's it, done, right? Well, it might be easier, but that's, would not make for a very interesting movie. It wouldn't be much of an adventure.
Right. Good point.
And
good
two,
point.
It never works that way, right? There's always the first clue, which leads to the second clue, which leads to the third clue, and it eventually, you know, leads to the treasure. And as I started to pay attention more to the signs that were coming through, you know, I realized it was kind of like that. Sometimes the clue was pointing in a direction. Sometimes it gave me a sense of timing. Rarely did it do both, and so I had to look for repetition of these clues over time. And that's what led me to kind of the system that says, you know, if you're somebody who jumps in too quickly and maybe follows every intuition you've had, like you had a dream about Italy and you quit your job the next day to go to Italy, well, that's probably not the most practical thing to do.
Right.
But if you keep having these clues about Italy and then you start taking some action in that direction, and then you can see how the pattern unfolds and it may lead you there. On the other hand, if you're somebody who overanalyzes, who never acts, then you need to have some confidence in going in a particular direction based on a particular message. And the clue life cycle helps you do that by looking for a concrete number of repetitions, and then you take an action.
I love that. What a great, important piece. And I don't even think me as a psychic medium that I could put it, have thought of it like that. I think that is going to help so many people. What you're talking about is this repeating, the repetition of the clues and the messages. And you call that, what do you call that, the clue cycle?
The clue life cycle, yeah.
Clue
and
life cycle.
So the idea is that you go through these things. I'll give you an example. A friend of mine was in Arizona, and she was going to her driveway one morning, and she noticed a seashell. Now, that was kind of odd because she lives near Phoenix, which is not really near the ocean, right?
Right.
She said that was odd. It was a little unusual, but you know, she was about to get in her car, and then she saw another seashell in her driveway. She said, wow, that's really unusual. There's two seashells in my driveway, and then you know, again, she kind of you know brushed it off and was about to get in her car, and out of the corner of her eye, she noticed a third seashell. And she's like, okay, there's something going on here, right? That's a perfect example of repetition, right? So then she went to the second stage of interpretation and said, okay, well, what does this mean to me? And she had just been noticing seashells in a movie that she had seen, I think the previous night or the previous week. It was a movie called The Way, which was about a pilgrimage in Europe on the Camino del Santiago. And she had seen the seashell and it made an impression on her. And so, I mean, I don't even remember the seashell from the movie myself, but in her case, you know, she had noticed it. And that's what's important, is that we have an internal sensation about something, and then there's an external repetition of that. That's what makes a clue. And then she said, well, what could this mean? And she'd wanted to go on a pilgrimage. And she realized that's part of what the message was for her, but she couldn't practically just pick up and go to Europe anytime soon. She decided, you know, she would go on a small pilgrimage, and turns out her daughter was having, you know, some issues, and she wanted to take her on a pilgrimage, so she took her to Sedona. And, you know, that became a spiritual pilgrimage for both of them as a result of that clue. And so that was a little action that she took based on that. So that was an interesting
I like it. So that is, okay, so what I'm hearing you say, part of it for every one of us to be listening is first of all, the looking, listening, and noticing, the noticing there. And I guess I'm hearing you say that it's guiding you somewhere. Now, Is it possible to have, you know, clues that say no? I mean, there's clues that say yes. That sounds like a very yes, yes, yes. But is it possible to clues that say no or not now?
It absolutely is possible. And, you know, sometimes I like to refer to this as the green light, red light phenomena. And sometimes clues indicate direction, but not necessarily timing. Right, so a clue may be indicating the right thing for you to do, but it may not be the right time. And I'll give you an example from my own life. You know, I was working on a book. This is back in the 90s when I was doing my first startup. I was going to write a book on business, and as a first-time author, it's hard to get an agent or a publisher. But you know, lo and behold, the first agent that I reached out to, you know, she said, "Oh yeah, this is great. I'll take you on as a client." you know, and I happened to be traveling to California in the next couple of weeks, and she was located in LA. So it was all, it seemed like the clues were leading me down that path. And so it seemed like everything was a go. But then what happened was after that, you know, she was unable to sell that manuscript and looked like, oh, okay, the clues were leading me in this direction, but now it's like a red light. It kind of stopped. But during that time, you know, she had asked me a couple of interesting questions, and one of them was, well, what's the book you really want to write? What's in your bones? And I thought about it for a while, and I probably wouldn't have thought about it so long and hard if she hadn't asked me that question. And I said, I really want to write a book about synchronicity and business. And it was partly because of that experience that I ended up, you know, with this book, Treasure Hunt, which just got published literally in the last month, which is 20 years later, right? So it was revealing a larger pattern in my life over time. So just because you have clues pointing you in a certain direction, it doesn't mean that's not the right direction, you know. It just could be a matter of
just through the timing.
Yeah.
So this helped you clarify more.
Yeah, it helped me clarify, and it was part of our larger pattern, which I call our treasure map in life. Like, where are these clues leading us to? You know, they're leading us to the work that we were meant to do, the place that we were meant to be, the people that we were meant to be with, right? And so that larger pattern, you know, you can think of it from a spiritual perspective. You can think of it as your guides guiding you. Turns out there's a, you know, fairly, and even in traditional religions, they have some of these same concepts. You know, I'm originally from Pakistan. And a few years ago, my brother moved back to Pakistan, and he wanted to marry, you know, this girl there, and he had to go through this formal process of asking her father. And her father said, well, I need to do istikhara on this. And then I was like, what's istikhara? I've never heard this term. And I looked it up online, and turns out it's a formal practice that you do when you have to make a decision, and you ask God or the angels for advice before you go to sleep, and then you watch your dreams over the next 3 nights. And I was like, wow, I've been there for like 1,000 years, and I had never even heard of it. And I was, you know, I'm more of an engineer, and I like to figure out how things work. So I was looking at the quantum physics side of it. But it's interesting that, you know, even the traditional religions have this a similar idea.
Something handed on down. So we touched on it a bit, but let's get into the deeper concept or main concept of the book Treasure Hunt, because it, to me, it sounds like not just a book, but it's like how to live your life.
Yeah, it's very much, you know, how to navigate in the world in both a spiritual and a practical way together, right? And that consists of coming up with your own kind of personal GPS and learning to listen to your inner mentor that's constantly pointing things out to you. You know, I have many examples and case studies in the book. Another one that's interesting because it relates to the bumper sticker idea is, another friend of mine, different person in Arizona, was going to buy a house, and this was back before the 2008 financial crisis, and she couldn't find one she wanted to buy, and she was a little down about it because she, you know, really wanted to have a place that she wasn't just renting. And she was driving home one day, and there was a car that was in front of her for like half an hour on her way home. And that's when you know, when something is in your line of sight and you can't really avoid it, that's a good time to pay attention to figure out. And so it turns out there was a bumper sticker on this car, and the bumper sticker said, not all those who wander are lost. And, you know, she was like, huh, that's an interesting message. And then she was online and she saw the same phrase somewhere else. So there was a repetition, you know, not all those who wander are lost. And then she asked me about it. She said, where is this phrase from? And I said, well, it's from a poem in The Lord of the Rings, which says, not all that is gold glitters, not all those who wander are lost. But in her case, she wasn't even a fan of Lord of the Rings. She didn't know any of that. This was a personalized message for her. And she took it to mean that it's okay to not buy a house and not settle down. And turns out it was a good thing, because this was just before the crash. And if she had gotten a mortgage, she would have been stuck there, and she ended up wanting to move from Arizona, you know, within a year or two after that. So it all turned out well. So that was a case where a literal bumper sticker, you know, was a message. And so the book is really about learning to get to perceive these messages, to note those messages, and then to see the larger pattern that gets revealed over time, because these messages aren't always just one-time things. They constantly happen to us. So as a follow-on to this particular story, you know, because it's in the book, I've been talking about this story over the last month or so in my appearances, so it's been on my mind. And, you know, I've often for the last, I don't know, 10 years had a particular startup that I was working on, like a video game company or a fund, And now I happen to be in a situation where I'm helping some guys with their companies, I'm promoting my book, I'm doing some things at MIT in the summer, but I don't have just one project that I'm focused on. And I was thinking, well, maybe I need to do another startup or focus on something specifically, but I wasn't quite sure. And I was driving home one day, and I saw this kind of Jeep that had like a wheel on the back that had a compass, and I thought, oh, that's an interesting picture. And again, the Jeep was in front of me for a long time, so I pretty much had to notice it. And I looked at the text that was – I almost didn't notice it, but I read the text above the compass, and it said, not all those who wander are lost. I thought, wow, that was an interesting one. And I have never seen that on any car anywhere, right? and yet I've just been talking about it. And so it was a good message for me personally that it's okay for me not to be so settled into just one project, but for me to have my hands in multiple projects, which is what I'm doing now and having a great time. So.
I love that. Now, Riz, you talk about something that is fascinating to me. So the paying attention, perceiving the messages, so you're developing – what I'm hearing you say is you can give people a guideline, but they have to find out what the personal – meaning is for the personal GPS is the way they access this information is what I'm hearing from you. And then this looks at the larger pattern. So we've got these little messages that are leading us little by little. And you've said that sometimes it says go in this direction, but maybe that it's not saying the timing, or sometimes it says the timing and, you know, not something else. How do you, the larger pattern, you said look at the large, are you able to see the larger pattern, or does there have to be a lot of little messages first that come through?
Well, typically it's a combination. You have lots of little messages, and then over time you start to see the larger pattern. You know, Steve Jobs had a great saying where he talked and he said that, you know, you can't connect the dots looking forward. Sometimes you can only connect them looking backwards, but you have to trust that the dots will somehow connect in your future. And that's an important point, I think, is sometimes we might have a clue, or we might be intrigued by something, and paying attention to your feelings is a really important part of this process. But it may look like it's not part of our pattern, but it turns out it is. I'll tell another story that's related to that Steve Jobs quote. So there was a young man who was in college in Oregon, and one semester he was really bored with his classes, so he ended up dropping a bunch of his classes, and he was looking for something to do. And as he was walking at the edge of campus, he saw this flyer. And this flyer kind of jumped out at him, right? And that's what I mean by each of us has a different way of perceiving. Like, what is a funny feeling? What does it mean when we have a hunch? But this flyer was for a calligraphy class. And it really intrigued him, so he decided to go ahead and take this calligraphy class. And during that class, you know, when he should have been taking his regular classes, right? But during that class, he fell in love with the different types of fonts and serifs and the way different fonts are drawn. And then years later, it turns out that was a young Steve Jobs. So when he was making the Macintosh computer, it was partly because of his love for calligraphy that he insisted on having multiple fonts, right? And so, you know, the computers we have today have all kinds of fonts, right? But, you know, it's possible we'd still be working on green screens if it wasn't for that little distraction earlier on in his life. And so sometimes the bigger pattern and the bigger themes emerge over time. And for him, you know, art and technology and combining the two was a theme of his life, as well as paying attention to his intuition in the business world. Yeah,
you're right. There was such an overlay of that, and so important to him, the art, but also the technology, or business in the form of technology. So what I'm hearing you also say is then, you know, the feelings, but what we, you know, people should be paying attention to actually what they like to do or like spending time doing. What a concept,
that's important,
right?
Right? You know, right? Because we all come into this life with certain tendencies and certain strengths and weaknesses, and we keep coming back to certain things and certain themes. And it's important for people to pay attention. You know, you may take a certain job that does something else, but then, you know, you keep coming back to it. I mean, perhaps it's art, or it's being a writer, or it's about combining things. For me, you know, it has been about bringing together the left brain and right brain, but also bringing together some Eastern concepts, you know, into these very Western settings of the business world, the venture capital world, as well as the science and engineering world. And so we all have these themes that we keep coming back to.
And I think it's important to have a sense of those, and that's how you start to discern that larger pattern in your life. I'll use another example from Indiana Jones. If you remember the film Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, where Sean Connery played Indy's father, and he had a book with him, which was his Grail Diary. And every time he found a clue, he would write it down in his Grail Diary. And over the course of his life, you know, he collected all these clues. And so it's kind of like that, our treasure map. The things we were meant to do are clues that we're picking up over our entire lives. And so, you know, they may relate back many years later, and you realize, oh, that's the piece that I hadn't realized was fits into this larger pattern.
Wow. Now, would you suggest people write – I love that idea. Write down, to document, and did you document?
Yeah. So, you know, particularly in the early days as I started to pay attention to these things, I started to write down both the external clue and the inner feeling that went with it. Right? And that's kind of important as well as you learn to recognize your own system of treasure hunting. Is, you know, you might have a particular sensation, you know, in your third eye, or you may have a tightening in your gut, or you may have a completely different sensation when you meet someone or you hear a message, right? Getting back to, you know, which messages are important. You know, so the rules of treasure hunting, you know, that I talk about in the book, there's like 20 of them, but the first few are the most important, which is: one, is it unusual? Two, does it repeat? And that's where writing it down is sometimes helpful, because then you can write down the clue and you realize, oh yeah, there was another one that I wrote down a while back that had something similar. And now you need to have multiple clues to see the larger pattern. And then the third one is that clues are personalized, that they mean different things to different people. And I'll give you another example from my own life. You know, back when, again, I was in my 20s living in Boston, and I was thinking of coming and spending part of the year in California. And, you know, back then I had no money, and so being bi-coastal was not an easy thing to do. And I had just left my first startup, so I didn't even have a job at the time. But, you know, it was this idea that kept coming back to me of living on the East Coast and the West Coast. And so I was thinking about it, and sometimes you just have to think about a problem. Other times you can ask more formally, as we talked about earlier, you know, for an answer. And I started to notice these mermaids all around New England. And I thought, that's interesting. And that, by mermaids, I mean statues of mermaids, pictures of mermaids. I didn't see any real mermaids, unfortunately. But, you know, the fact was they were always there in New England. If you go to any seafood restaurant, there's probably a statue of a mermaid. But I had lived there for 10 years, and I had never noticed that. and so that's why it was unusual, because it was something I was noticing and my mind was being drawn to, and it was happening again and again. So then I said, okay, let's take this to the interpretation stage. What does that mean? Well, for me personally, what it represented to me, I was a big fan of movies like The Little Mermaid and Splash, and it was about a mermaid trying to live in two different worlds, right? The world of the sea and the world of humans and the land. And that was, you know, a personal meaning to me. And it became a pretty powerful symbol, and I took it as kind of a confirmation that I could live in two worlds. And that, in that case, it started off being the East Coast and the West Coast. But over time, it became a much bigger symbol for me as I started to bring lots of Eastern concepts into Western settings. And my first book, Zen Entrepreneurship, was a lot about that. A lot of what I talk about Treasure Hunt is about that as well.
So part, you know, I call this spirit-led, soul-fueled, because it's coming from the soul design, you know, with our self-expression. It so absolutely sounds like you're living this to the fullest, even by recognizing that you're bringing, you know, kind of the East and the West, the spiritual and the business, the left and the right brain. You know, you're this integrator, you know, integrating, bridging, a bridger, what we call metaphysically. And it sounds like by what you're sharing that most of your clues have this integration or have this theme of bringing together.
I'd say, yeah, many of them do. I mean, some clues can be as simple as, you know, you think about someone or you have a dream about someone and then they call you the next day or they need to, you know, reach out. This happened to me so many times that I started to be proactive about it. Like, I had a dream about a friend I hadn't heard from in years. I contacted her the next day and she said, oh yeah, I've been meaning to reach out to you. I have a business plan competition for my class and I need some feedback on the plan. And I was just thinking yesterday that I needed to contact you. And so somehow those messages, you know, get through. But yeah, I would say a lot of my big clues have been very much about integrating the left brain and the right brain and bringing the spiritual together, you know, with the more practical, and finding ways to do both of those. You know.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're also doing kind of a contest, a real-life treasure hunt, helping people follow their dreams. Can you touch on this? Because it sounds pretty amazing opportunity.
Yeah, this could be a great opportunity for some of your listeners. So I'm running a contest that I call the Real Life Treasure Hunt. And, you know, as I said, I've been guided in my career by my intuition, by clues. You know, I know what it's like to want to build a new project, a company, a creative project, a business project, but to not have anyone believe in you and not have any money to really get it off the ground. And so in this contest, you know, I'll be investing $20,000 into someone's business project. And the requirements are that it has to be something they feel called to do, and they have to list the clues that have led them, you know, in that direction. And of course, I got to keep my publisher happy, so you'll have to have read a copy of Treasure Hunt and talk about how the principles might apply to your personal treasure hunt. And, you know, this could be – so I live in Silicon Valley. There's a lot of people who invest in certain types of tech companies, but then there's a lot of other types of companies that could be more spiritual or more conscious-oriented, and there's not a lot of investors that will put money behind those. A perfect example is someone here who Ellen McDonough is her name, and she had discovered these different healing frequencies, audios with healing frequencies that helped her, you know, with some health issues when Western medicine couldn't do much, and she had to go find these different healers on different telesummits, and you know, get their audios and then download them to her phone, and it was a long process, and she was called to create an app, which is called Pure Light Audio, where she brought all these healers' energetic audios together into one place so that you can just go in the app and download free ones or buy ones. And I thought, you know, that's an interesting idea. Clearly called to her based upon her own life. And it was spiritual and conscious. It's the kind of thing that, you know, not a lot of VCs in Silicon Valley would fund, but I ended up funding it. And that app is now released. And that's a good idea of the kind of project. I mean, it doesn't have to be an app. It could be a retail store. It could be, you know, a mock-up of a UFO, you know, whatever project. It has to be investable, so it has to be like a business. So it's kind of like Shark Tank a little bit, I like to say, but without the sharks. So it's more of a spiritual thing.
Mermaids.
Mermaids, there
mermaids.
You go. There you go. I'm looking for a mermaid project, just put it that way.
That's right. Oh, I love it. Now, let's say people do get the book, which I think is, you know, it's phenomenal by what you've been sharing here. Would they, when they're reading it, would probably they may recall other, I guess, messages, right, or clues from before reading the book. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's possible.
It may
help
spark some, you know, an interest in maybe pursuing that clue further that might have happened before, and maybe they acted on it, or maybe they just noticed it and that was it. And that's where, you know, they can use the clue life cycle can happen many times. It's like a little circle that goes into a spiral as you keep getting more and more clues. And, you know, on my website, which is zenentrepreneur.com, I'm always open and interested in hearing, you know, stories from people about either dreams they've had or clues that they've had. And that's also where the application process for the real life treasure hunt is there as well. So you can go and check that out also.
Well, Riz, I think you have another movie brewing in this. And the treasure. Well, I know I can just see the implication, a movie or a show. I mean,
that could
fascinating.
Be
fascinating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be part of my personal treasure hunt there as well. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the one thing that I find, well, so much of it is pretty phenomenal, but the idea of the repetition and people ask, you know, seeing what does it personally mean for them? What's their personal interpretation? I think that's something that sometimes gets missed. You know, people will come out with books. You know, I've done healing work and working with the chakras and colors, and people are sometimes, I saw this one, but that's not what's in the book. And it's like, yeah, but that's what you're getting. That's what you're getting for some reason. So I think the idea to personalize is very helpful to people, because it could have a personal, you know, message for them. Or like you said earlier, it could be a certain feeling. When they get this feeling, this means this or that, you know. And so to develop that and make that stronger, right?
Yeah, and that's, you know, very much, you know, what the book is about. It's about giving ourselves confidence to notice these clues and to take action based upon them, which is basically finding our own treasure map. Like, it's finding the treasure, which is the work that we were meant to do or the people that we were meant to be with, and having some confidence about that. Because I think, you know, we live in a society where, you know, within the Western concept that, like you said earlier, if you can't see it, it doesn't exist, right? You know, it's important, I think, and that's part of the reason why I have so many stories in the book, to realize that there's people do make decisions based upon their intuition. Now, you have to still then back it up, and that's why I emphasize
both
the left brain and the right brain. I mean, if I'm going to make a decision to invest in somebody's company, well, I have to, one, have a gut feeling that it's the right thing to do, but then two, I have to do my homework and make sure that it looks like a reasonable thing. And I think that's important. I mean, that's what the scientists had to do. Like Mendeleev, who created the periodic table, he was struggling with this problem of how do I organize these elements, and he fell into a dream in front of a fireplace when he was visiting like the Black Sea, and in that dream he saw the elements all arranging themselves, you know, in a certain order, and he got up and he's right, and he thought, wow, that's it, that's how I can arrange them. But he still then had to do the work of putting together the actual table and figuring out which element went where.
And I think I agree. I think that's a really, really important part. I always say the higher self, well, there's always going to be practicality or practical steps. There's steps or a safety net, you know, you're right, getting the message, which, by the way, I had a friend do years ago, said they had a dream and they sold everything, quit their job, and then they ended up staying in my place for 2 months and bouncing around. And I'm like, how was that the higher self? I think that was the ego masquerading, because you blew it. You know, she worked in the TV industry. Everything was gone. And I'm like, you know, I like to get to three to five confirmations here, you know.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Right?
And, you know, there's another concept in the book. I know we may be running out of time, but I talk about these anti-clues, which are sometimes we're just repeating our patterns and wishful thinking, and we're not really following intuition. But we like to justify that we are, but we're unconsciously repeating the same mistakes we've made over and over again. And that's why getting confirmations is important, so that you put it into that system, you know.
That's fascinating. So how will we know? We got to have you back on again. Just really quick, how are people going to know? Well, you got to get the book. They look with the anti clues.
Yep.
That's something. That's a very important piece, because like, you know, you do hear people sometimes saying, "Oh, I had this dream," or "My intuition tells me this," and it's just backing up an unhealthy or non-life enhancing pattern.
That's
you know,
exactly
like
right.
In the
and
worst
so,
relationship ever, because they had a dream, we're soulmates and we're meant to be there. It's like, no, this is kind of time to move on.
Yep, you're exactly right.
Oh, we had
people who get into similar types of relationships with different people, which is a pattern. And so you have to look
at the
external patterns, which are related to your internal patterns. And there's more about that in the book as well.
Oh, good. We got so much good feedback in the chat. Thanks for bringing Riz on. Amazing info, very useful info. Special thanks for bringing Riz on. One place to shop this book is to the screenwriters of the recently released movie Wonder. Okay.
Oh, there you go.
That's for you.
That's an interesting idea. Yeah.
Oh, Riz, this has been amazing. So Treasure Hunt, it's on Amazon. You've done well there. People can get it there.
It's on Amazon, or if you want to support your local bookstore, you know, go there and ask them to order it. It's always good to support independent bookstores. But definitely, it's on Amazon and on my website, zenentrepreneur.com. There's some local bookstores that have it around the country as well.
Well, I'm glad you're living at this time and wrote this amazing book. I think this is going to help so many people. I'm fascinated. I took some notes, so you know, I'm going to be looking at it. I think you've really codified and put some things together that are really, really helpful for people to you know, not only interpret but understand what they're getting, what messages they're getting, and not getting as well. As a matter of fact.
Right, yeah. The clues and the anti-clues, yeah. Definitely.
That's right. I like that, you know, because a lot of times we focus on the clues, the messages, but you can be getting messages that are garbled, that are not, you know, that are saying, no, no, move on. Thanks, Riz. Thank you so much for coming on the program and sharing. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
Okay. Take good care. Great book. That's Treasure Hunt. Our guest was Riz Virk, and you can find out more information by going to zenentrepreneur.com or, again, the book Treasure Hunt at Amazon. And don't forget, what a great opportunity as well, this contest that he has, the Real Life Treasure Hunt, Follow Your Dreams. You know, I don't usually recommend stuff. I think this is a good one. I really do. So, be kind of fun to talk about it in the chat. All right, everybody. Always so great to connect with all of you. Again, for all things Awakenings, whether guest suggestions, topic suggestions, email questions that you'd like, or if you want to submit questions for my new TV show, Shift Happens, you can email me at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com. The blog, again, soulplayground.life. And if you want to sign up for the monthly psychic forecast and energetic happenings, you could also do that at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com. So great to be with all of you. Have a wonderful Wednesday, and I'll be back here next week. So see you when I see you. Until next time, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awakening conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.